Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. It says, "It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples.'" So this is not, I want the focal point to be here in the fact that they asked him to pray. I think some people have got this fallacy that if I'm a disciple of Christ, that I'm a child of God. And there couldn't be anything further from the truth. That is one of the greatest lies of Satan, is that if you're a disciple of Christ, that you are also a born-again child of God. And there has to be a distinction here, because that is not true. Never has been true. Okay? So here, they are not asking Jesus to teach him to pray. Specifically, he says, but no, teach us how John the Baptist is teaching his disciples to pray. And of course, Jesus, knowing John the Baptist, knew that this was all was from God. This wasn't Jesus' thoughts. It wasn't Jesus' ideas. It wasn't Jesus at all. He just was being obedient to the Father. And the Father said, "You're going to be the sacrificial lamb for us, for all humanity. Because that's the only way they can receive my righteousness, is if you go to the cross and you fulfill the law and you do it perfectly without sin, and you become that unblemished lamb of God that goes to a cross and becomes sin on behalf of man, that they might have my righteousness." So as we know, Jesus taught them to pray, you know, "Our Father who art in heaven." So to call him Father, he has to have conceived you. That's the only way you become a true father, right? Is if you're conceived. I mean, yes, we have folks that are adopted and they call those parents father and mother, but we're talking about the reality of true father and true mother. And God was Jesus's father because he came upon Mary, and Mary had a child that was conceived through the Holy Spirit, so God was his father. So if you want to be a child of God, God has to come upon you, and you have to be conceived, and that happens when you receive the Holy Spirit, and then now you are a child of God. And there are passages of scriptures that are very plain there, that if you don't have the Spirit of God living in you, then you are not his child, and you are not of God. Now, religion will tell you differently. They say baptism. There are even some religions say that you have to be baptized to be saved. And they're talking about the water immersion. Jesus only talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he only went through the baptism of John to fulfill that. It was symbolic to be buried with Christ, raised to walk in a newness of life. So it was a testament to the world, and a lot of these people wore white robes testifying of what had happened in their life, that they had been baptized by John, and they became a disciple of John. And John was teaching them about who was coming next, so that when Jesus did come, that they would be able to make the transition from him to Jesus Christ. So it's amazing, interesting here, that these are the small little things that we miss in Scripture when we don't sit down and read them slowly and with an intent to hear from God. You see, a lot of people will read their Bible daily, but that's all they do is read it. It doesn't do any good to just read the Bible. If you're not meditating on it and you're not applying it to your life, then it basically is vain for you. All that you're doing is in vain and will be not profitable at all for you. In John 6, 41, he goes on to say that therefore the Jews were grumbling about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down out of heaven." And they were saying, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he say that I have come down out of heaven?" You see, it's amazing what we sometimes get in our heads is that, wow, that can't be of God because it didn't follow what we had preconceived what God would do. And so many people live their life like that, is that, well, God wouldn't do that that way. And here Jesus comes from really some unknowns. It wasn't through the Levitical priesthood. It wasn't from the Sadducees or any of the Pharisees or any well-known, wealthy noblemen, because by all means, this was the Son of God, was it not? How in the world could God not choose the most prominent people on earth to send his son? Because you only listen to prominent people, right? You don't listen to nobodies. That's why our sanctuary is not full. You know, I'm not an Osteen. I'm not Joe Osteen. I don't somehow give people this false sense of what they want. And so, therefore, my pews are empty, or God's pews are empty, I should say. Not mine. They're his. Because truth doesn't bear what people want to hear. People want to hear what's false in our world today, and instead of listening to what the Word of God has. But they were grumbling about him. They had a problem. He says, I am the bread. I came down to heaven. They said, well, you're just Joseph something. Yeah, I mean, you're a carpenter. We saw you build things. We saw you grow up. And now, all of a sudden, you become God's son. How'd that happen? He was always God's son. It's the way God chose to do it. And some things, times in our lives, we need to look at how God chooses to do it, not how we think God ought to do it. Very, very often is that true, that we think God should do something. And if the purpose of our life is to become like him, and sometimes it takes cancers, heart attacks, it takes sicknesses, it takes all of those things to appreciate what God has given us and to appreciate life. See, you can do nothing to add to your life. Not one breath of life can be added. There are some things that just money and humans can't do. But God has given you a life, and what are you doing with it? See, we focus on how long we're going to live instead of the precious time that God gives us each day, what we're going to do with it. You see, and it says in here, whatever you do it as do it for the Lord. So you see, our walk on this earth is to be a shining light for him, that he might use us to draw others to himself. We are to make disciples, we're not to make converts. And religion goes past that point of what God told man they could do. God didn't tell them to make children of God. You can't find that in Scripture that he says to make converts or children of God. It's not there. He said to make disciples. John the Baptist had disciples. Jesus had disciples. The Pharisees had disciples. The Sadducees had disciples. So you understand, it's just a disciple is someone that follows someone's teachings. A child of God is someone that has been born again by following God's teachings. And there's the difference and distinction between disciples and people who are born again. And Jesus answered and said to them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me. And I don't understand why people can't get this. And this is where the fear and the trembling of our salvation should come in our lives, is no one can come to Jesus unless the Father who sent Jesus draws him. And then Jesus says, and then it's my responsibility to raise him up in the last days. So now, unless you fall before Almighty God and prostrate yourself before him and say, God, teach me your ways and teach me who I am. And he will use the Word of God to do that. Not some man up here preaching, okay? The preacher is supposed to simply lead you to the one that can lead you to God. The preacher's not supposed to tell you what it means. It tells you what God says. My responsibility is not to interpret Scripture. My responsibility is to tell you, thus saith the Lord. And then your responsibility is to take, thus saith the Lord, and apply it to your life. I can't be responsible for that. I'm only responsible for sharing the truth. And that's what Jesus did. He came and he bore the truth of who God was. And he did it so man would not have to suffer God's wrath. You see, that's the love that God has for us. Because I bet in an audience this size, which is not very big, that some people believe that God loves us just the way that we are. I've searched the scriptures and I can't find that. I can't find that God loves us the way that we are. Because it makes no sense. If God loves us the way we are, then why did he have to send his son, Jesus Christ? No, he loved us in spite of what we are. It says that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet enemies of God, Christ died for us. So you see, he doesn't love us the way we are. He loves us in spite of the way we are, which makes it a greater love. And he loves us enough to not leave us how he found us. Because he gives us the Holy Spirit to live within us, to give us the power to walk according to God's word. That's why there shouldn't be any discussion. That's why the Methodist Church should not have a discussion. That's why the Baptists should not have a discussion. And in fact, there shouldn't even be any Baptists or Methodists or Catholics or anything. You can't find a denomination in Scripture. See, if you're only Baptist, then you're going to die and go to hell. If you're only Methodist, you're going to die and go to hell. If you're only Christian, you're going to die and go to hell. You have to be a child of God to see and be with God. You see how man has taken and twisted God's word so that people can't even begin to understand what it says or know what it says. There's not a preacher that says, your responsibility is to not believe what I say, but to challenge what I say. You see, I'm not asking you to give great sums of money, because see, that's easy to do. I'm not telling you to go work at the food bank, because that's easy to do. I'm not telling you to go on a mission trip, that's easy to do. I'm telling you to do the very thing that only can lead you to salvation, and that's to sit alone with Almighty God, with his holy word, and ask him to give you the strength and the knowledge to be his disciple until he teaches you, what this is all about. Because if you are not taught by God, you cannot come to Jesus Christ. Impossible. Impossible. So he says, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. I'm backing up what I'm saying. See, if you've not been taught by God and you've not heard, where's hearing come from? From the Word of God. So if you've not heard and learned from the Father, if you have, then you come to Jesus, who Jesus is. And when you come to Jesus, you glorify the Father. Because you understand that this was all the Father's doing. And Jesus came so that you could worship God. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. So basically what they were grumbling about is Jesus goes on, if you read the rest of that, he goes on to talk about that you've got to eat my flesh and you've got to drink my blood. See, it's amazing as long as we stay in the physical. And I'm telling you what I think the scripture says, and we argue about what you think the scripture says. As long as we stay within the realm of what man believes God is saying, then they can now create a God that they can coexist with. When Jesus began to share biblical truth, this is when they began to start having problems. Maybe we'll read that. He goes and said, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they died. Okay. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that the one may eat of it and not die. See, I'm the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats the bread, he will live forever. And the bread also, which I will give for the life of the world, is my flesh. Then the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one eats the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. And again, he begins to speak of the spiritual truth. Totally engulfed in Jesus Christ. That if you're not partakers with Christ in this Lord's Supper, it's the symbolization of that Lord's Supper. Of what Jesus represents. His body was given to us. It was so that we might have eternal life, and his blood for the remission of sin. He was talking about a spiritual truth that, see, once you begin to talk about spiritual truths, people begin to get turned off. People won't stay to hear biblical truth. Just when I mentioned to that guy that there shouldn't be any denominations and that the church should open up God's word and say, thus saith the Lord, and yet he didn't want to talk about it anymore. And I'm going to tell you what, people that are religious that want to argue with you, shut them up by just telling them spiritual truth. But make sure you get your truth from God's word and you're just sharing what God had written in his word and not something that you think. Nobody needs to know what you think scripture means. You either know what scripture means or you don't know what it means. There's no interpretation. Matter of fact, the Bible even says that scripture is not a matter of man's interpretation. It's a revelation by God. So either you know or you don't know. You thinking that you know is what's going to get you in trouble in life. God didn't write this so that we would think. God wrote this so that we would know. So he goes on to say that, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As a living Father sent me and I live because of the Father. So he eats me. He shall live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever. So here's the point I'm trying to make. That God wants us to understand this morning. One of the points. Sound like a Baptist preacher, don't I? Got points. I never say points. I don't know where that came from. God has more than three points, okay? So, therefore, this is verse 60. Listen to this. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement, who can listen to it? But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, does this cause you to stumble? So does biblical truth cause you to stumble? What he's saying is, when I tell you truth, is your flesh having problems with it? And what are you going to do about it if you do stumble? Are you going to ask God to hold you up? Or are you going to let it crush you? What then, if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they did not believe and who it was that would betray him. And for this, and he was saying, for this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless the Father is granted him from the Father. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. Again, biblical truth, that discipleship does not mean you're a child of God. Let's look at Acts 13, 23-33. This is kind of where we left off last week a little bit. And so in verse 23, it says, from the descendants of this man, according to the promise of God, and talking about David, God had brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, after John had proclaimed before his coming a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. Understand what John the Baptist was about. Without repentance, there is no forgiveness of sin. That was even the charge that he gave the disciples as they went out before he ascended, was to go and baptize all the nations in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and proclaiming the repentance for the forgiveness of sins. That is the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is not Jesus loves you just the way you are. Come and join this Jesus thing. Jesus, the fact that man has made Jesus a religion, man has made Jesus an idol, is one of Satan's greatest deceptions in this world today. And people will get angry when you tell them biblical truth about this. He goes on to say, while John was completing his course, he kept saying, what do you suppose that I am? I am not he, but behold, one is coming after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to untie. Brethren, sons of Abraham, family, and those among of you who fear God. See, God only gives his message to those who fear him. Did you know that? And there's scripture that backs that up. If you don't fear God, you'll never hear the message of God that leads to salvation. So therefore, you have to grab hold of religion so that you think you're going to die and go to heaven. And then when you stand before God, he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And I hope none of you all have to experience that. I hope none of you are so prideful that you don't ask God, am I yours? I hope that each and every one of you in my ears today, I don't care if you're a deacon. Most deacons are lost. Did you know that? And they're using their deaconship to qualify themselves before God. Because we've made deacons a glorified position. When deacons are roll up your sleeves and get to work for God, for God's children, for God's house. Deacons very rarely do their work. Rarely do they do their work. For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, recognizing neither him nor the utterance of the prophets which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled these by condemning him. And though they found no ground for putting him to death, they asked Pilate that he be executed. So we know the rest of that story. But understand, God hardened their hearts. God proclaimed what would have to happen. Jesus had to go to the cross. Jesus had to become sin so that you and I could share in his righteousness. But if you don't approach God the only way that he says and the only way that you can become, it was reminded to me again this week when a little child came up to me and said, oh, I got baptized. I got baptized Sunday. I said, well, good. I didn't say anything else. I said, well, that's good. He never even been a disciple of Christ yet. So how can someone who's not been a disciple of Christ hear the word of God, who doesn't read the Bible each day and sitting down with God and God revealing this to him, how can he? But he thinks now water baptism saved him. This is the lie that you have experienced in this church. And this is the lie that some of you all have maybe experienced. That water baptism doesn't do anything for you. You better be baptized by the Holy Spirit before you ever get baptized here. People don't like truth. Look at Romans 6, 1 through 4. You see, and you can tell someone who is really excited about knowing God's word because they accept the truth and they go and they multiply on it. Where people that don't understand truth want to argue about it. Listen to this right here. Um, Let's do Acts 19 first. I'm going to do Acts 19. Sorry. In verse 1, because this is so important, because I'm going to back up what I'm saying. I told you that I would never tell you anything from this pulpit that is not true. And I've always told you to test me. I've told you to not just take what I say and run with it, but to test it. But I wonder how many are even testing it. I wonder how many just walk out of here and just never, ever even remember what the message of God was that Sunday. It happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. Okay, we got some disciples. Now, again, the verse that you have to understand before we read this is that those that do not have the Spirit of God do not belong to God. They are not his children. We agree on that, right? We agree on that, because that came right straight from God's word. He found some of Jesus' disciples, and he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said to him, "No, we have not even heard that there was a Holy Spirit." So, a disciple does not mean you're saved. Because you believe in Jesus doesn't mean you're saved. It's your belief that allows you to become the disciple, then allows God to put you in the Word, that allows you to hear God, that gives you then the faith to believe from the utmost being. That's where God said you have to believe from, the innermost being. Not as you believe in the things that you believe in this world, or from a deeper belief that you have never heard of. So that's why people take this and they use it out of context, because they're not putting all the scriptures together. And therefore, we're getting these little children to say a little prayer, and then they think they're going to go ahead and go to heaven. And you look at their lives, and there's no fear of God. There's no keeping the commandments of God. Because 1 John says, if you love God, you'll keep his commandments. If you don't, then you're a liar. And these are all, I didn't write these things. This is all what God wrote. And he said, what were you baptized for? He said that we were into John's baptism. You know, that baptism that says we're going to try to go live a good life and we're going to try to please God. Well, wasn't that the first covenant? And the first covenant was written so that we would understand that we can't please God in the flesh. And therefore, we have to be born again. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him. That is Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. Understand, that was a gift to the early church. That is not a gift to today's church. Matter of fact, God says in his word that those gifts would be done away with. And yet you still have people that gather together in God's name, contrary to God's word, speaking in tongues. See, God's word isn't good enough for us to just believe it. We have to have some great writer. I think Christine told me the other day that there's a new book out by, what's that guy's name again? I don't remember his name. Who? Lucado? Max Lucado? Yeah, that guy. He's supposed to be a real famous Christian writer. Jesus chose the nails. Is that the name of it? What? When I can read and hear that Jesus says, I didn't come on my own initiative, I was sent. So here you got a famous writer who you'll read that book. But you still refuse to read this one. Written by Almighty God. Live. Sharper than two-edged sword. That can reveal all eternity to you And yet you'll choose Max Lucado, Joe Osteen, and all those guys over sitting down alone with the creator of this world, who loved us enough to send his word and put it in writing, written by the Holy Spirit, so that you would not have to suffer the wrath of Almighty God. And yet, we refuse to listen to God.